Hey y'all, it's Maximum Fun Drive. This is the one time a year where we all come together to invite you to support my show as a member or by boosting or upgrading your membership, which you can do today. Join now at MaximumFun.org/join, but more on that later. Let's start the show. Welcome to Black People Love Paramore, a podcast where I explore the common and uncommon interests of Black people in order to help us feel seen. Please rate us and write us a review on Apple Podcasts and Spotify, 5 stars only because we are 5-star bitches worth your Gotti. If you're watching this on YouTube, please like, comment, subscribe, and all of that. I'm your host, Sequoia, and joining me today to chat about Warped Tour, we have music executive over at Shoobs and founder of Measure of the Music Conference, Christine Osazwa.
Great to be here. Super excited to be here. Thanks for having me.
I'm so excited to have you. You are the perfect guest for this. It's going to be very fun. Looking forward to this episode. Been looking forward to this one for a long time. Also, thank you for joining all the way from London. Like, this is quite the time difference. How are you feeling today?
Oh, it's all right. I'm very used to this because despite the accent, obviously the accent is not from London. I am from Baltimore. Mm-hmm. So this is where my whole family still is. So I could do time zones all day long. Mm-hmm. It's fine.
A Maryland girly. I lived in Maryland for a little bit, very briefly, not in Baltimore, but I lived in Hyattsville, the DMV yes. area for a little bit. It was a great time. The blackest time of my life. I loved it so much. I think about moving back every 5 seconds. So very happy to have a Maryland girly joining us today.
Yes, I'd love to see it. Absolutely.
I gave you a very short bio, but it does not nearly do you justice. You ran a magazine when you were 16. You've been in the music industry ever since. Can you give us just like a brief rundown of your adolescent career and just the space that you've been in historically and how it got to like where you are now?
Yeah, it's been a journey. Taking it all the way back, when I was like 14 or so, I met a local band outside of a Simple Plan show. They're like, hey, check out my band. I was like, cool, love them. Ended up, long story short, running their street team. This is back in 04 when people mostly did things off the internet. So this was also the MySpace era. So I started doing digital marketing because of that with artists in my area from Baltimore, where I was from. Fast forward a bit, I was turning 16 soon. This is also the era of my super sweet 16. And I was like, cool, I want a big birthday party. And so I had, in the span of 2 years, befriended all of the bands in my neighborhood, in my town, in Baltimore. These were all pop punk bands, basically. And the biggest band from Baltimore, most people probably know, is All Time Low. All Time Low played my 16th birthday party because they were the kids down the street that many years ago. Yeah. So they headlined my 16th birthday party. It was an amazing time. I had a great time booking it, had a great time marketing it and planning it and things like that. So I was like, cool, I want to keep doing this. So I continued to book shows and I started my magazine called Scene Trash Magazine back in 06. Built that out to a staff of 12 girls from New York down to Florida. We were covering basically local bands and like pop punk bands. So this was the era of, you know, everyone from Fall Out Boy, Paramore, but like smaller bands that had big hits at the time and then everyone in between. So we were doing that. I ended up going to undergrad to study music business and journalism. I filmed a documentary about how social media has changed the way artists and fans interact. And this was 2007. I filmed a documentary in probably 2010-ish. And so I did a lot of that filming actually on Warped Tour, which was really fun. And in between all of that, I was doing odds and ends and bits and pieces, all focused on music, like working for radio stations, working for venues, whatever I could find to do for a span of like 5+ years while I was still like not old enough to drink alcohol, basically.
This is a legend, y'all. Do y'all hear everything that Christine just laid out? Can you imagine running a fucking staff of 12 people at 16 years old on the coastal East Coast of the United States? What's happening?
It was a special time.
I'm flabbergasted. I couldn't even imagine. Okay. We're going to move into Warped Tour.
Cool. Cool.
I'm just going to define Warped Tour for those of you who might not know what it is. I know all of y'all know what it is, but just in case you don't, the Warped Tour was a traveling rock tour that toured the United States and Canada each summer from 1995 until 2019. It was the largest traveling music festival in the United States and the longest running touring music festival to date in North America. Following the first Warped Tour, the skateboard shoe manufacturer Vans became the tour's main sponsor, when it then became known as the Vans Warped Tour. Warped Tour was convened by Kevin Lehman. Is it Lyman or Lehman? Do you know, Christine?
It's Lyman.
Okay, I knew you would know. Warped Tour was convened by Kevin Lyman as an electric alternative rock festival, but later began focusing on punk rock music. Although it was primarily a punk rock festival, it covered diverse genres over the years. Wild. Wild. I didn't know a lot about Warped Tour before I read this definition. I was like, oh, it traveled. Okay. That makes sense. Of course it had to travel because everybody wasn't coming to fucking California. I just thought it was in California because that's where I was. You know what I mean? And it was a tour, but I was like, oh, yeah, maybe the tour aspect would give me that. That totally makes sense. We're going to throw out a break real quick. And when we come back, we will talk about fashions and all of that type of stuff.
Hey, when you listen to podcasts, it really just comes down to whether or not you like the sound of everyone's voices. My voice is one of the sounds you'll hear on the podcast Dr. Game Show, and this is the voice of co-host and fearless leader Joe Firestone.
This is a podcast where we play games submitted by listeners, and we play them with callers over Zoom we've never spoken to in our lives. So that is basically the concept of the show. Pretty chill.
So take it or leave it, bucko. And here's what some of the listeners have to say.
It's funny, wholesome, and it never fails to make me smile.
I just started listening and I'm already binging it. I haven't laughed this hard in ages. I wish I'd discovered it sooner.
You can find Dr. Game Show on MaximumFun.org.
Earlier this episode, you heard me mention the Max Fun Drive. To all my listeners who have been with me since day one, this might be your first time hearing about Maximum Fun Drive at all. I know you're wondering, what is Maximum Fun Drive? So, as I mentioned before, this is the one time a year where we all come together to invite you to support the show as a member or by boosting or upgrading your membership if you're already a member. I know that talking about Maximum Fun membership is a little bit confusing, so let me make it clear for y'all. This is Patreon-esque. It's kind of like I'm asking you to become a patron. Remember when I used to have a Patreon? I don't have a Patreon anymore because now I'm a Maximum Fun and the bonus content lives there. So it's essentially the same. I would love for y'all to go and donate, pledge a certain membership amount per month for the show, and you'll be supporting me in the same way that you were supporting me over on Patreon, that same support, just on a different website. What is this membership paying for, you ask? Maximum Fun membership pays for shows, and you get to choose what show gets your contribution. In this case, you would contribute to my show. And if you see any other shows listed that you're like, oh, that looks interesting, you're welcome to contribute to that as well. But you're helping me keep this show going. Because let me tell you, doing it alone is hard. You know, I do need some monetary support a little bit. So if you have it, I would love for you to give it to me. I would love to have it. Your donation will go to things like paying for editors, paying for events, and just making sure the show can stay up and running. Because you know, content for Black and Brown people be getting cut left and right. Becoming a Maximum Fun member empowers your favorite creatives to create with the resources that they need. Hopefully I am one of your favorite creators and hopefully you would like to empower me with the resources that I need. That would be great. So if you love the show and you want to see it grow and flourish and expand beyond our wildest dreams, become a member today. So ways to join. You can either join, upgrade, or boost your current membership. To join, you can go to MaximumFun.org/join. And you'll see all the membership tiers and shows available to contribute to. Of course, you'll pick Black People Love Paramore. If you're already a member, you can upgrade your membership and receive some cool thank you gifts. And especially this cool show pen. It is a Black People Love Paramore pen. It literally says Black People Love Paramore on it. It's a pretty like hefty. It's a nice, it's a well-made pen. It's a well-made pen, like a pen that you put on your bag, not a pen that you write with. Also with this membership, you'll get access to an entire library of bonus content for all the Maximum Fun shows for as little as $5 a month. You can pay up front for the whole year of support if you like. That would be wonderful. I would love that. Now, I'll talk a little bit more about bonus content later on. Let's jump back into the episode. What were you wearing to Warped Tour? What was the fashion giving at the time?
Oh, gosh. So I started going to Warped Tour, I think, when I was 16. I feel like I should have looked this up before I started this conversation, but I'm pretty certain it was 2006. And so all the cool kids were wearing, gosh, hair that did this a lot.
Yes.
I still have not, I have not letting go of my chokehold that bangs have on me in general. So I love bangs still. I personally, so the thing about it is, like, let's be real. Like, we're the podcast we're currently on. I'm a black girl, and I did not look like the scene kids that were going to Warped Tour. So I did not dress like the scene kids that were going to Warped Tour because I was like, yeah, I'm still not gonna look like them even if I put on this exact same outfit. Mm-hmm. So I was at Warped Tour in cute little dresses, yeah, little day dresses, sundresses.
Come
in the middle of the summer,
on,
it was hot.
Christine.
Like the little, I couldn't, like the tiny, like the really tight skinny jeans and like the belt, and that, like, I just, that was not my vibe. So
wow.
I was normally in sundresses and like I was real comfy and just enjoy my time. I was, for the most part, when it came to Warped Tour from age 17 on, I was usually working in some capacity. Mm. So like I had stuff to do. So I had to be like able to move around, had to be really comfortable, had to be able to get from here to there.
Yeah.
So I was wearing all kinds of things, but what everyone else was wearing was lots of very tight clothing and lots of very ripped clothing. And let me tell you, I know you say you haven't been to Warped Tour, like you didn't know much about the Warped Tour vibe, but it was hot.
Yeah.
Like a level of hot you don't even fathom, because some of the days would just be like in a parking lot in a stadium, not even in the stadium. It'd be in the parking lot outside the stadium.
Yeah.
So there's no cover. There's nothing. There's no shade.
Yeah.
There's nothing. Like, there's no protection from the sun.
Yeah. Just in there burning,
wild.
Crisping.
Just, and let me say, again, I melanated with sunscreen on still. I felt real bad for some people that did not prepare properly for the direct sunlight for literally the days, like a 10-hour day. It starts at like noon and goes till 10 p.m.
I know,
it
was
a whole
red.
Thing.
They was red as
people
hell.
Did not make it.
Yeah. Yeah. Have you ever heard of like sun allergies when folks...
Oh, yeah. That's the thing.
...are allergic
this
to the sun?
Thing. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
I've seen like the swollen foreheads that come from a sun allergy and all that
wild.
Type of stuff. I know all of that was probably rampant.
And the itching,
yes.
And stuff like that.
Just,
yes.
Like the rash. I'm sure that was rampant, yeah. At Warped Tour.
That would be the worst time to figure out that you had that allergy.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm here to party and turn up, and here I am, the sun's trying to kill me while I'm outside. That's
exactly.
Wild.
Exactly. Mm. Right.
I did not go, as we mentioned, but I definitely had a very emo phase, probably between sixth grade and ninth grade, probably like a 3-year stint. And so if I had gone, and I was in sixth grade to ninth grade from 2006 to 2009-ish, if I had gone, I know my ass would have been mimicking those kids that you're talking about. I would have worn the colored skinny jeans. I would have had a mesh fishnet fingerless glove. I loved the fingerless glove. That was my whole vibe.
Oh, yes.
I would have worn a tie. Definitely wore ties to school regularly. Vans, of course, the slip-on ones.
Of course.
Black nail polish, lots of eyeliner. That was the only makeup I wore at the time. And
yeah.
I thought it was like...
Same though. The eyeliner, I did rock the eyeliner.
Yes.
Absolutely. I can't forget that I definitely had the
we
eyeliner
can't forget
on.
The eyeliner. And it felt so special. Like I really felt like I had on like a full face. As soon as I put that eyeliner on, I was like, I'm a different girl.
Can't tell me nothing.
You can't tell me anything. I'm a different girl. Okay.
Absolutely.
I know y'all see the lined eyes. And like you mentioned, the bangs swooped over the eye.
Oh,
I
yes.
loved the bang at that time. I loved the bang. And I don't wear my hair out anymore, my natural hair out anymore in a straightened way. I do wear my natural hair out, but not straightened. If I did, the way that I would have that bang, y'all wouldn't be able to tell me anything.
Absolutely. Let me tell you, I straighten my hair just for like length checks, basically.
Yes.
So like every like year I'll do a length check and I'm like, oh, we're doing the whole bang. We're doing the whole thing because we can. Like the bangs have not gone away. I don't care.
Mm-hmm.
You can't. No. That, and people are like, oh, that's really millennial. I don't care.
I don't care.
That is me.
I don't care. And I also feel like the millennial stuff doesn't apply to black people. Like, how are
we started everything.
We started everything. And if I started wearing a bang, you bitches would too. So
yes.
Shut up.
So,
yeah,
yes.
Let's leave it at
exactly.
that. Okay. Dream lineup for you. I have something if you want me to start. But if you have something off top of your mind, please.
Oh my gosh. So like the thing about Warped Tour, right, is that like I feel like some years I would arrive to Warped Tour and not even remember who was playing Warped Tour.
Yeah. Cuz
like it was a requirement. It was like how Coachella sells out before Coachella line
you just
like
went.
It's like that, right?
Yep.
It was like who was playing was almost irrelevant to the situation at hand.
Yeah.
When I got there I was like, "Oh, dope. This person's playing. Oh, cool." But like I didn't even know what I was walking into. I just knew that it was going to be a good time, right? And so like it's funny because like the way I grew up, I'm going to go on a tangent, so I apologize, but this is important, I swear. Yeah. And so I grew up in Baltimore, right? Baltimore is what's referred to as like a B market when it comes to touring. So a lot of times artists will skip Baltimore. Quite often they'll do DC, they might do Philly, but they won't come to Baltimore a lot. And so I had the added advantage of being in Baltimore. And because I was in Baltimore, I was never competing with big publications, with my magazine, things like that. So when any band, like any pop punk band came to town, the chance of me getting the interview, the photo pass, whatever I needed was super high because I was the only ask of the day. There was nothing else they had to do that day but like meet with me, basically. And so over the course of running my magazine, so over the course of like 2005-ish up until like 2011-ish, I made friends with so many incredible bands. Some of them are still friends to this day and things like that. And so when I think about like my dream lineup is, it's like two different lineups. One dream lineup is like, I get to hang out with all my friends for the day. And then the other dream lineup is like the bands that like I would be so amped to see when I was at Warped Tour. So it's like two different vibes entirely. And sometimes they overlap. Not necessarily all the time, but like if I was thinking about dream lineup, it'd be like some combination of like me just getting to hang out with my friends and then also getting to see like my favorite bands. And so the dream obviously would be like a combination of like if we got like My Chemical Romance and Paramore and Fall Out Boy all like headlining somehow, like that's amazing. But I also was the only, like, of all my friends, I was one of the only ones that really loved, like, so like Vans Warped Tour started with like a lot of punk acts, right? Like that was a, like a bread and butter for a long time. And so I was always joking with my friends, I'm like, cool, I'm gonna finally run off and go see Less Than Jake or NoFX or something like that instead too. So like adding that, like I love Less Than Jake, so like adding them to like the dream lineup is like absolutely keep piling on. Or like Real Big Fish, Mighty Mighty Boss Tones, like stuff like that also. So toss that on top as well. And then if we want to get like hardcore about it, I'm like, cool, we can put on like an Every Time I Die. Also, we have to put on like a 4 Year Strong, a Day to Remember. So that's like all of like the like we're gonna party for the day. That's great. And then like I toss in some friends. All my friends' bands broke up at this point. There's so many friends. No, it's fine, we're old now. But so many friends that like I would toss on so many friends just for the hangs.
Yeah, I get that. That totally makes sense. Wow. Okay. You had some deep cuts there. We started off with like stuff where I'm like, and then we got in stuff where I'm like, hold on. I never heard. I don't know. Yeah. I'm like, whoa, I don't know what that is. Okay. Wow. I'm going to have to check some of this out. Do you have like playlists on Spotify or anything by chance?
I have so many playlists on Spotify.
Okay. Are they public?
They are.
Okay.
Some of them are probably real embarrassing, but I have a ton of playlists on Spotify because I really love like two parts. Like I love contextual playlists, and this is why I say the AI can never replace playlist creation, because I have like very, very specific playlists for very, very specific purposes that AI would never figure out. Like I have one that I've been building right now that's called I'm the Shit per the Recording Academy, which is a Megan Thee Stallion line. It and it's literally songs in which artists quote factual things about themselves in the song.
Wait, I love a niche playlist like that.
Very specific playlist. Yes. And so like another track on there is a song called Take Me Back to London, which is an Ed Sheeran and Stormzy track. And there's a line in it where Ed Sheeran says, grossed half a billy on the Divide tour, which is accurate. He made $500 million on the Divide tour.
Ed Sheeran said that?
That's one. Yes.
That gives a rap bar. That absolutely gives a rap bar. That's wild.
You should hear the song. It's a wild track. It's actually really good, but it is a rap bar.
Yeah, Stormzy and Ed Sheeran feel like an interesting combination. Okay.
Wild combo. Yeah. So yeah, stuff like that. So that was a long answer to, yes, I have plenty of playlists available on Spotify.
Wow. I only dream of making such niche playlists. I always wanted to make like a braggadocious rap only playlist where it's just rap. Rappers talking their shit, female rap version.
I have one of those and like, called like Twirl on Them Haters. And it's just like,
now I'm about to be stalking the hell out of Christine's Spotify. I can't wait. This is gonna be fun. Okay, back to Warped Tour and another question.
Yes.
What's the best place to stand when you're at Warped Tour? Because here's my issue with all of them. Okay, in the front you might get crushed. Middle you might you're becoming part of like the moving body of water that is the crowd. And in the back, you're safe, but you can't see and the audio gets kind of warped, LOL. And you know, that type of thing. What's the best place to stand?
Yeah. Okay. So that's a great question. So again, this is two parts. So sometimes I would be working. And so if I was working, sometimes I would be backstage, which sounds really cool, but it's the worst sound by far.
You can't
hear anything because sound is meant to go forward. So if it was a band that I loved, I would leave backstage for the express purpose to actually see the show in a good way.
Yes.
Like, I wasn't one of those people that was like, I got to stand back here and look cool. No. This is one of my favorite bands. I don't care. I'm going to where I can hear this sounding good.
Yeah.
And so that was important to me. And so I would never be like all the way in the front. I would probably be like in the middle-ish bit before like the crowd started pushing up because I love to dance. I would be in the back. Me and my best friend would be in the back when we'd be dancing our asses off the entire time. And so you have to have no space to move. So never all the way in the front. Always in the middle.
Okay. Always in the middle. That definitely always makes sense. I saw the photos of you and your best friend. I'm assuming that was your best friend in the photos of the LinkedIn article that you wrote with all the band pictures. Mm-hmm. That was so cute. It was so nostalgic. I'm like, oh my God. They look just like me when I was this age. This is wild. I love that we all have like very similar experiences. And now that we're all talking about it as an adult, you know, because it was, at the time it was like different for Black kids to be like this, but we weren't really that different. We were all really doing the same shit. So
right, exactly.
It's kind of wild.
Oh, we had so much fun, and like, it was a good time. What a time to be alive! I swear,
like y'all weren't there. Y'all don't understand. Right. It really was a time to be alive. Oh, I didn't tell you my dream lineup. My dream lineup is so fucking basic. Okay, but it's my dream. It's my world. So here we are. Paramore, of course. My Chemical Romance.
Yes.
Fall Out Boy, of course.
Yes.
Green Day. Metro Station. Cobra Starship. Good Charlotte, Jimmy Eat World, and 303. That would
amazing.
Be my vibe.
This is the only time I'm going to do this, but fun fact, I have met all of those bands except two.
Oh yeah, we got the expert on the pod, y'all. We got the expert
just
on the
from
pod,
like
y'all.
Various things between like mostly from like doing like work with the magazine, but once in a while from like random house parties, like just like a combination of things. I'm like, yeah, that was my life. It was a really good time.
Wow, no, that really does sound like an incredible time. I'm jealous. Which ones did you not meet? Which two did you not meet?
Jimmy Eat World, I've never met. Mm. Never met my chem.
I'm shocked by that one.
Yeah, no, they got real big real quick.
Okay,
so a lot of when I say I met a lot of these bands, it's because they got big slowly, and so it was much easier. But My Chem got real big real quick.
Yeah.
Green Day, never met Green Day.
Oh wow.
I think that's it.
Okay, you know what?
That's probably everyone. Yeah.
That makes sense for those three because I feel like those three are older bands, and you probably were too young when they were.
Yeah, exactly.
Really popping
up,
off, right?
Exactly. So, except for My Chem. My Chem just got big so quickly.
Right, they weren't old. They just
there
got
wasn't
quick.
Any
yes.
small time.
Yes. Right. There was no time.
But the other two, yeah, I just wasn't. You know, they got big when I was too younger. Jimmy Eat World is like top three favorite bands for me, though. I listen to them constantly.
Oh, I love that. You said you have not met them.
No, I've not.
Wow. No, y'all, Jimmy Eat World, stop playing and come talk to Christine. Okay. Y'all need to come talk to Christine. She's real out here. Which band have you seen the most live?
The most live, Fall Out Boy by far.
Oh, wow.
They're my favorite band.
Okay. They're your favorite
band. They've been my favorite band since I was very young, by far. Somewhere in the ballpark at least 30 times. Mm-hmm. Probably more than that. Like a lot of times, basically.
30 is fucking wild. I was not expecting that number.
Genuinely probably higher than that, but like I'm just gonna estimate 30.
Trying to
like,
keep it cute. 30.
Yeah, exactly. Because like there was a point in time in my life, basically between like 07 to 2011-ish, I was probably going to like 70 shows a year. Like I was going to so many. And so that's why I'm like, oh yeah, so I'll follow up with like 3 days in a row, whatever kind of nonsense combo this was. Yes. Yeah.
That's some shit you have to do when you're young.
You
have to do that.
Let me tell
you.
If I go out 1 week and you ask me to go out next week, I'm like, I don't know about
me
that. You're asking for too much.
Literally, the Veronicas are like going on tour, I guess, and they're going to be in LA May 5th, which is a Sunday. Yep. And I was looking at those tickets like, it's a Sunday, y'all. Like, Sunday, you're killing me. I think I'm going to go, but yeah, I'm nervous about it being a Sunday.
You got to, like, prep your whole next Monday. You're, like, trying to take off on Monday.
Right.
I don't know.
I'm like, what do I do? What do I do? But speaking of Fall Out Boy, have you heard of a podcast called Sugar, We're Going In?
I have. I haven't listened to it yet, but it's on my to-do list.
Okay, I just want to make sure.
The influence there, I could talk about the influence between hip hop and rock for like all day. Oh. So like that's yes.
Wait,
like,
you should go on her podcast. You should definitely go on that show.
I would love that drop. Like, that sounds fun.
She would love that. We love Scarlett over here. Scardi B, she's a fantastic host. I've been on the podcast. It's a great show. You should definitely listen and then go on if you would like to.
Yeah, I love that.
I wanted to know, upon looking at Warped Tour's, not set list, what is it? The performers through the years.
Yep.
Lineups through the years. Why did 303 headline four separate times? It was once in 2018, once in 2016, 2011, and 2009. And that's only including the times they headlined and not, you know, the other times. What the I feel like 303 was not that big all those years.
But they were.
Were they?
Do you in 2018? Do you remember, it's funny because I was going to say a sentence and I remember this name of a 303 song, but do you remember the chokehold 303 had, though?
I was in the chokehold.
Do you remember that line, right? You tell your boyfriend if he says he's got beef, then I'm a vegetarian and I am fucking scared of him. It's still such a bar.
Yes.
We are a decade plus out and that's still such a bar.
Yeah.
Like the absolute chokehold. The thing about it was that not only did the pop punk kids love them, like the hip hop kids love them.
And I was both.
But also just the most jockey, like sports kids love them. And also people love them in the club. Mm. Like there was so many different variations of people that loved the 303.
Yeah.
They also were commercially successful. I think one of their tracks was on The Sims.
Wow.
And then they did a track with Katy Perry.
Yeah, I remember
that. They were wildly successful.
Yeah.
And it's funny because I can't remember which year, but I remember a year when they got moved. I think I want to say they got moved to headliner mid Warped Tour, which is a thing that happens. Like bands would start blowing up because an album come out in the middle of Warped Tour and they get moved to headliner slots as the tour was going on, which was really fun.
Wow.
And so I remember a day, I can't remember what city I was in anymore. I was I was talking to one of the guys at 303 and I was like, when you guys announced your stage, you should have seen the avalanche of children that were running in that direction. I filmed it and I sent it to him.
Wow.
I was like, this is what it looked like. It was wild. It was like, I know it seems like in hindsight, it seems ridiculous. You're like, no, they could have possibly, but they were so big.
No, this is so wild. I had two of 303's physical CDs. I had the first one, it was the blue one. And then I had the gold one. That looks like this. I don't remember the name.
Yep.
Yes, Want. And I don't remember that first one. Maybe it was just called 303. I don't know.
I
had both of them and I was very much a 303 girly. And I guess I just didn't realize how big they truly were.
They were very big.
Clearly so, but it definitely makes sense because I also was a hip hop girl in the same, probably more so even than I was an emo girl. And they seemed like that definite bridge. Did you remember their song called Rich Man by chance?
Oh, yes.
That one used to drive me. I used to go feral when Rich Man came on. I thought that was true fucking rap. You could not tell
me that was not rap.
Right? Okay. I was like, you guys, you're not listening. Did you catch the lyrics?
Yeah. Bars. I don't care. They're bars. Absolute bars. I don't care.
Yeah. It was kind of like college rap or something, like college hip hop. They were in college. I remember that.
Yeah, which was around the same time. I mean, it was around the same time that Asher Roth was really big,
yes.
for example. Same energy, same crazy time.
Whoa.
But all the kids came together to bond over certain artists. And 303 was definitely one of those kids that one of the groups kids came together to bond over, you know.
Yeah.
And I think that was also around the same time of we're approaching the same time around Mac Miller being really big.
Yep.
There were so many things happening simultaneously.
Yep.
That just blended and meshed. And also don't forget about Gym Class Heroes, for example. Mm-hmm.
Always.
It was a time.
Yeah, I forgot about Asher Roth. I hope he's well.
I hope so too.
What a good time.
Seemed like a good guy.
He really did. I think he knew one of my friends, and my friend was like, no, he's actually a fantastic person. And I was like, oh, I'm very incredible. Happy to hear that. Sometimes you hear the opposite.
Yeah.
Anyways,
yep.
Best songs that really get the crowd going. For example, The Bridge of Misery Business.
Watched
his wildest dreams come true. Yeah.
Yep. That's definitely one. I would say I'm gonna do some deep cuts because I know what the energy is like for some of these. So there is A Day to Remember, Downfall of Us All.
Okay.
Let me tell you, if you want to hush a party, if you want to silence a room, if you want to silence a crowd, you just go da 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 da. da 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 da. People lose their minds. Okay. Doesn't matter if it's a house party. Doesn't matter if it's Warped Tour. People lose their minds. I saw Dana Remember on Warped Tour in Florida, which is their home state, and I have like. Unbelievable what was happening. like incredible. So I would definitely say that was another good one. God. So I never saw Mike Hem on Warped Tour, ironically. I saw him at other places, but never saw him on Warped Tour. But you know, like let's be real, like I'm gonna say, so if you want an honesty, that's all you had to say. Like the second.
That's very fair. That's very fair. It leaves the lips.
That's over.
It's like, over.
It's over.
I just saw Mike Hem for the first time, like 2 years ago, maybe, when they were touring. And the show was so much better than I anticipated it being. I didn't go in with any expectations, really. It was wild. The stamina on Gerard was wild. And then I looked up his age. And I was like, oh, Gerard is like 40 something. Not four, like 45 or something. And I was
He's
like,
not a kid.
Oh my God. It was wild. The stamina was insane. The show's energy was wild. It was very cool.
I saw them. I mean, I saw them in like 04. I saw them a couple, maybe a handful of other times, but when I saw them at When We Were Young Festival 2 years ago, let me tell you how embarrassing I was spinning around in circles, so excited.
I love it.
Because they literally ended I'm Not Okay, and then Paramore started Misery Business directly afterwards, and you
I'd explode. I can't believe I missed that. Oh my God, I'm such a dumbass for not going. I told myself I was gonna go, and I'm like, I'm too old to go to festivals. Like, I don't want to do it anymore. Like, I'm exhausted. I should have fucking taken my ass.
I almost passed out. When the second they switch over, it was like a seamless transition. I almost died. It was amazing. Like...
Oh, I'm unwell. I'm unwell at the thought. I need to find the recording of it. I know somebody fucking recorded the moment, and I need to find it because
I'm sure they did.
Yeah.
It was not me because I was dancing around like an asshole.
Naturally.
It was amazing.
Yeah. Somebody that didn't quite understand was definitely recording it. So I'm going to find it. Let's go to break. And when we come back, we'll talk about.
Video games can make you laugh.
They can make you cry.
They can even make you sing.
We're the hosts of Triple Click.
It's a podcast about video games.
This is an exciting time for new games from Diablo to Final Fantasy.
From Starfield to Street Fighter.
From Zelda to, oh, who are we kidding? We're just going to talk about Zelda.
Whether you play games or you just like hearing about them, we've got you covered.
Find us at MaximumFun.org or wherever you get your podcasts. Bye.
Which Warped Tour was the best? Earlier in the episode, you heard me talk about BOCO or bonus content. If you sign up to donate to the show today with a membership, you'll have access to the entire Maximum Fun library of special bonus content you can enjoy from all of your favorite Maximum Fun shows like Black People Love Paramore and also many others. Which reminds me, we're excited for you to enjoy this year's bonus content from us. Black People Love Sequoia Holmes, moderated by Jewel Wicker. That's the first piece of bonus content y'all have access to. Another piece of bonus content y'all have access to is the Black Max Fun Host Roundtable, featuring Danielle Radford from Tights and Fights, Dimitri Pompei, host of Eurovangelist, and Ify Wadiwe of Maximum Film. We have a bonus content teaser dropping tomorrow, which will live on just the regular episode, so y'all will be enticed to join. With more Max Fun Drive information. So stay tuned for that. As a reminder, content like this show and bonus content take time and money. So your support as a Maximum Fun member can make all the difference. You can join monthly at $5 a month or more if you got it. If you'd rather get it all done at once, you can opt to pay upfront for a year of support with the option to go monthly once that year is up. I have not mentioned this on the podcast yet, y'all, but this year I was nominated for Best Indie Podcast Host by the Podcast Academy. It's an award called the AMBYs. I'm very excited about it. And being recognized by an organization like that as an indie podcaster is really important to me. What enables me to be an indie podcaster is y'all, the listeners. And what will enable me to take it even further as an independent podcaster is y'all's monetary support, for real. So that's why it's important to me, because again, I don't have a big machine behind me. I am a rather independent podcaster. I do a lot of the heavy lifting myself with the help of my editor and my producer. Being able to create my show is empowering because I get to throw events like Vinyl and Vino. I'm sure some of y'all saw the invite go out on Instagram, but it's sold out now. But because I love y'all so much, if you subscribe between now and Saturday, March 23rd, the night of the event, you can enter to win two tickets to the Vinyl and Vino event. What is Vinyl and Vino, you say? Vinyl and Vino is an event put on by Slow Jams Gallery, founded by Nico and Elwood. Hey, y'all. Where they listen to a full album on vinyl just with a group of fans of that album. So I've gone to Rihanna's Fanti, not Rihanna's Fanti, damn, I'm thinking about Fanti podcast. I've gone to a Vinyl and Vino listening event for Rihanna's Anti album. It was great. People, you know, are drinking their wine, they're standing up and dancing and singing, but it's not like a full party that's like a lot of pressure. It's pretty low pressure. You dress casually, you show up, there are seats, so you get to sit down or stand up if you want to, and everybody's gonna love this album that you're listening to because you're all fans of the album. So everybody's gonna be singing and having a good time. That's the event. If you would like to go to the Riot one, we will be listening to Paramore's Riot album. Go ahead and sign up to become a Max Fun member and support Black People Love Paramore. You can support at any level, but you can support as little as $5 a month. Go ahead and send your membership receipt to blackpeopleloveparamore@gmail.com and you'll be entered into the raffle to get two tickets for Saturday the 23rd. You have to be in LA, of course. So if you're in LA and that sounds of interest to you, go ahead and sign up. And guess what? Becoming a member means you'll get notified before anyone else about BPLP events. So never miss an opportunity to buy some tickets or merch or hang out with us ever. That's MaximumFun.org/join to join today. Let's get back to the show. Okay, and we're back. Of all the Warped Tours that you went to, is there a specific year or lineup or band or anything like that that sticks out more than the other?
That's a great question. In my head, like Warped Tour all like
mushes together,
blends together into like one like fever dream nostalgic memory. Like there's not, I couldn't even tell you which Warped Tour things happened, mm-hmm. who played or things like that. It just all like melted together. So I guess what I'll point out, it would be like two important ones to me. One was the first one I ever went to. I'm pretty certain I was 16. I think it was 06. And I had won like a radio contest or something like that. And I think it was the year that Warped Tour was started in Baltimore for the first and I believe only time ever. The first date was Baltimore for some reason.
Mm. Wow.
And so I won. There's no reason. I think maybe one of the times this might have happened, but randomly it was the first date. And so I won tickets that included like backstage passes ish basically. And so that day I got there, I was able to go like backstage or whatever. And since it was the first day of the tour, a bunch of stuff hadn't really been set up yet. They were working through some stuff like that. So I was in like the production offices and I went up to someone that was a production office. I was like, hey, I won this contest. Do you guys need any help today? And she's like, yeah, actually we do. And I ended up like putting up like the numbers on the buses for the tour buses and doing like all these odds and ends kind of things basically for like some of the day and then watching the bands the rest of the day. And like I was like, cool, this is a thing I can do, I love this, you know. So like I had a really good time that year. I don't remember who played. I know I had a good time, mm-hmm. but I remember doing that. And so subsequently since then I had always been either like I had like a table for my magazine, I was doing interviews for my magazine, or I was helping out. I volunteered and helped out with the press coordinator a few years on Warped Tour, for example. So I was always kind of working and doing these different things while I was there. Yeah. And so the last year of Warped Tour was 2018, 2017 or 2018 was like the final year of Warped Tour. I had already moved abroad at this point. I think it was 2018. I was already in Stockholm. I lived in Sweden at that time in 2018. And I flew home basically just to go to the final year of Warped Tour. and like, I didn't even know if I was going to be going. I think I decided last minute. So I didn't hit up any friends. I didn't get any guest lists. I think I even bought a ticket on the internet. I had literally never bought a ticket on the internet before because I always was doing something. Yeah. And I just went to Warped Tour like a normal person. Nice. And I had such a fun time. Yeah. Like, and so like, that was the last one. I'm actually wearing my Warped Tour shirt. This is the final Warped Tour. If I can.
Yeah.
There we go.
Oh, nice.
2018.
Nice. Ooh, and that's a really nice pink too. I don't know why I didn't realize you're wearing a pink. Yeah, I like the blazer. It's cute.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, that was like, those were the two like probably most memorable that kind of stick out because they were like the bookends, right? You know, beginning and the end.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of tours as an adult, let's talk about When We Were Young Festival. You mentioned it a little bit before. I know that you went. I'm so jealous that I didn't go. I think they've had two or three now.
Two now,
and the third one is soon.
Coming in October,
Okay, I'm probably going to have to make my way to this third one because I need to stop playing, for real.
Yep. Exactly.
How was the experience going to When We Were Young Festival?
Well, let me tell you, like, I am a real proper adult now, so I had, like, responsibilities.
Yeah.
So I live in London. I was in Amsterdam for a conference I was speaking at. Mm-hmm. And so I literally flew from Amsterdam to London. It's like a 90-minute flight, if that. I had already pre-packed a bag. I had to switch airports. So I went home, grabbed the pre-packed suitcase, swapped out the other suitcase, went to the other airport, flew literally to Vegas.
It was fucking serious. This was
two
serious.
Nights in Vegas, and then flew all the way back to London.
Oh my
that
God.
Was it. That
oh
was
my
all
God,
I
oh
did.
My God. You took a flight from London to Vegas to only do 2 days, but also go to a festival. That's fucking exhausting.
Sure
the flight is exhausting. The festival is exhausting. And then you flew the back to London.
Mind you, I was already in Amsterdam. Don't forget, I started in Amsterdam. I had been in Amsterdam
Christine.
For like 4 nights because I was working.
Christine, you...
Let me tell you.
You must got young energy. You must got magnesium.
I don't. Something.
You must got it all.
Oh, God. So, yes, I did this. Wow. It was worth every minute of it. It was so incredible. And the thing about it was like, it was a long ass flight to get from London to Vegas is a long flight.
Yeah.
Right. And it was one of those flights that didn't have Wi-Fi.
Oh,
that still is a thing.
This
right?
is a nightmare.
Right. And so I had tickets for Sunday. Right. And this is important. Right. I had tickets for Sunday. So I was flying in, I was in the air during the day, Saturday, basically. Mm-hmm. So day one was Saturday. Day two was Sunday. I was in the air Saturday. Right.
Yeah.
So I land on Saturday night to find out that the first day of the festival didn't happen because of a wind issue.
Oh my God.
And so I'm like, oh my God.
Oh my God.
Right? Crazy. And so I did not know this until I landed after my 11-hour flight, right? That like, so I was like, oh no, hopefully the next day happens because like, you know, I had tickets for
yeah.
the next day. Thankfully it did happen,
yeah.
but what an intense thing to wait, let's like literally land and find out is that the festival you were going to one of the days didn't actually happen.
Happen is wild.
Yeah.
No.
Yep.
I do remember that
yep.
kind of. I remember people yep. being like, oh, the first day is canceled. And I was
yep.
like, I'm so glad that I didn't get these
yep.
fucking tickets because
exactly,
I would have been
which
livid.
Fair. Entirely fair. So I was real happy that I had the right day
yeah,
tickets, basically.
No.
And so after all that was said and done, I had such a good time. So many of my friends came out. We all made reckless decisions and decided we're all going to do this, basically.
Yeah.
I saw Jimmy Eat World, and I love Jimmy Eat World.
Mm-hmm.
I saw Paramore. I saw Mike Kemp.
Yeah.
Like, I spent the day. I saw 303.
Yeah.
I spent the day running around the like you know did 303 play am I making that up I'm like I remember it was a
that
good
sounds
day.
Right I believe so yeah
and so I am actually going again this year.
Okay.
I literally just decided a couple weeks ago that I'm going because a bunch of bands are doing full albums and let me
stop it wait how'd you find that out
they
announce it already
album. Yep. Oh, yeah. I believe if they announce it, it's very much sold out. But I'm sure you can figure
Stop
it out.
It. Oh, I'm definitely going to figure it out. We'll be there this year. I'm not
day
missing
anything.
Day 2
is available. Again.
Okay. Okay,
was,
great.
Yeah, we're good. We're good.
Always go day 2. You never know if they're going to have day 1. I don't know at this point. So I do that anyways.
And so, yeah. A bunch of artists are doing like their first, like they're doing their full album. So like My Chem is doing Black Parade in its entirety. Day of Remember is doing Homesick in its entirety. Jimmy Eat World is doing Bleed America.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, yeah, it's... It's a whole thing.
That's so cool.
And I'm so excited.
I love that they get to do that.
Yeah. I wasn't going to go. I was like, oh, probably I can go when we were young. I don't need to go again, et cetera, et cetera. And then when I heard they're doing full albums, I was like, shut up. I don't care.
You're like, well, I guess I got to go.
Take my money.
Yeah.
I even got the higher price tickets this time. I don't care. Whatever.
We'll be there. And this is what happens when you like grow up and you get a little bit of money and you get to really enjoy
right.
your shit.
Exactly.
You know, because you get to pay for the premium versions of your shit.
Right.
Yeah.
I only paid for Warped Tour once in my entire life. So this is just like recouping.
It's just recouping. Yeah. You could stand to give a little bit, you know? Yeah.
Exactly.
That, oh my gosh. I didn't know that they were doing full albums, and that definitely changes things for me. I'm probably gonna have to take my little self.
303 is doing Want. I'm just saying.
I'm definitely gonna have to take my ass. I'm gonna have to bring my best friend too, because we had a whole thing. Of course.
You have to.
Oh wait, I forgot Panic at the Disco. I definitely would also have Panic at the Disco on my dream lineup. I feel like they are a little. They fit the least, but I would definitely have Panic at the Disco on my dream lineup personally.
Absolutely.
The completely. Not just Brendan Urie, but all of them.
Right, the guy bring the whole band.
You know, I would like everybody to be there, ideally. We're going to play a little game of overrated or underrated. Okay, so I'm going to list some things, very Warped Tour themed things, and you'll tell me if they're overrated to you, underrated to you, and why, just a little bit. Okay?
Okay.
All right, mosh pits.
I think at Warped Tour, probably underrated.
Okay.
Because there's so, like, there's so many, like, there's punk bands, and you're like, okay, mosh pits, like, punk band, cool, but, like, mosh pits and pop punk is so fun. Like, that's a good time.
Pop punk, yes. Pop punk mosh pits are fun.
Yeah, that's so fun. Absolutely, that's underrated. People aren't doing it enough. Do it more. It's great.
That's very fun. Death metal mosh pits are terrifying.
No, I don't need all that.
Wild.
That's too much.
Rap mosh pits, as we see, have gotten a little bit out of hand. We've seen the Astral World effect. But pop punk ones seem like they're fun.
Pop punk ones.
Yeah, they
time.
Seem like a good time.
No one's getting hurt at Simple Plan mosh pit.
You know, a Simple Plan mosh pit sounds very safe and beautiful, and I would love to be a part of it. Yes.
Exactly.
Slip on checkered Vans.
Oh, I don't think I ever owned a pair of slip on checkered Vans. I think I own a lot of Vans, just not specifically the slip on checkered Vans. Yeah. I just was like, this doesn't match anything. What are we doing? So I would say probably specifically that cut of it's probably overrated. There was enough people bought those.
Okay.
Like, there was other types of Vans out there.
You know what? I love that you're like, yeah, no, I definitely indulged in emo culture and all that stuff. I was not wearing y'all's little outfits. No, I had on sundresses and, you know,
it was real cute.
Regular things. So thank you.
Yeah.
I appreciate that. That's fair. Separate GA and VIP areas.
Oh, so like when I was like Warped Tour didn't have VIP areas like as like growing up, and so like I remember the first time I went to a festival and there was a VIP area and I was in it because I was working. I was like, I've worked in the music industry, I've worked at major label stuff like that. And I remember the first time I went to a festival and I was in a VIP area. I was like, yo, what is this production value?
Yeah.
What is this? What is the separate entrance? Yeah. Like all these things. Like I was like, oh my god, what? As a little kid, like even like the thing that I always joke, I was like, you know, I was always working, so I didn't pay for Warped Tour, but Warped Tour tickets were like $30. It wasn't like they were like, and so the first time I went to like, I went to like a Lollapalooza and stuff like that, and I was like, what? And so yes, now that I'm an adult, I'm gonna say if there is a VIP option for a festival, I will be buying the VIP option for the festival. I don't want anyone to talk to me. I don't want to be waiting any lines.
That's fair.
Someone should have my stuff, should be in a locker. Very much underrated at this point, but as a kid, never even occurred to me that was an option.
Yeah, because it wasn't, TBH.
It was not.
Wearing a band t-shirt of a band you've never heard of.
Overrated or underrated? I don't know. I feel like that might be a little bit of, like, overrated. I mean, if it's a really cool design, I can see that, but like if it's not a cool design, then what are we doing? It's like the thing I just don't understand, because like I've seen like situations where people have gotten like vinyls, for example, that have a really cool cover art and stuff like that, and I'm like, cool, I get it. But like if it doesn't even look cool, what's the point?
What are we doing? What's the intentionality behind this? Ear gauges.
I made that deep sigh because let me tell you.
Oh, yes, a story.
The chokehold boys with ear gauges had on me when I was 17 years old. Oh, no. I've taken a moment. Oh, no. And so I would say, given that, underrated, because we can always do more.
Feel you. Yeah, it can always be bigger. We can always go bigger.
There's options, yes.
Wow.
Underrated, yes.
Okay. Chipped black nail polish.
No, just
no.
Just no. Why? Just no. That is yes, very much overrated.
Okay.
Like, just take the nail polish off.
Last one. This is so funny. Like you having emo sensibilities and also not being on none of the bullshit. That's very funny to me. Okay, dress shirts and loose tie with jeans.
I'll give it to you. You can have it. An effort was made.
Effort was made.
We'll say underrated because an effort was made. If you put on the dress shirt, you get the pass. But if you put that on over your t-shirt, but why?
Mm-hmm.
Like, but why have you done that? Mm-hmm.
But why have you done that? Make sense. Can you tell us right. why?
But if you put the dress shirt on, if there's a collar attached to it and there's a tie under that collar, then you get the pass. Go
okay.
For it,
okay. You'll take it. We'll allow it. Yeah. It's very Green Day, of course. That was Green Day's whole aesthetic for sure.
Exactly.
Which band was your favorite to interview?
I had a really fun time interviewing Cobra Starship. They were always such a good time.
Did you do the dance with them ever?
I never did a dance with them, but Gabe was always a sweetheart. Vicky was great. Like, they were such nice guys. I remember after one interview I did with them, I interviewed them maybe two or three times. So in Baltimore, where one of the bigger stadiums are, or whatever, not really stadium, but the bigger venues are, there's a mall across the street. But you have to know the exact exit to take from this massive place to get to the mall. And so I was with one of the guys, and he's like, "Hey, I need new jeans." I was like, "Hey, well, I'll walk over to the mall," and we wander around the mall and we just chatted and had a good time. Mm-hmm. That was not my journalism part, just taking a member of Cobra Starship to the mall. Yeah. It was great. Yeah. We ran to some fans of the mall. It was I always had a really great time with them. So I'm not sure if that was my favorite, in terms of that was probably the band I enjoyed interviewing most. Yeah. And then in terms of just I guess what I'll add is the band, if there's any band that I felt I was really, really in excited to interview. God, I was always excited to interview Cobra Starship as well. God. I'm going to leave it. We're leaving it.
Okay.
Starship.
Yeah, Cobra Starship is a great answer. I would not have guessed that, but it totally makes sense. Based on what I know of them, that definitely makes sense. Mm-hmm. Most awkward interaction with a band member. Have you had any awkward interactions? Did anything funny happen?
There's one I won't say.
Okay, there's one that I will say.
Very often, if you're from the East Coast, especially when pop punk was really big, a lot of bands would do really close together tour dates. And so it'd be DC, Baltimore, Philadelphia, Wilmington, Delaware, New Jersey. It'd be places that are 70-minute drives to one another, basically, for a full tour. And so all of those places would be 2 hours in any direction from my house. So oftentimes I would just, that's how I end up going 100 shows in a
Got
year, because
it.
I would just go to 3 or 4 or 5 days of a tour if there were friends on the tour, or if I was interviewing multiple bands and needed multiple days, et cetera, right? Mm-hmm. And so I remember one time I interviewed Armor for Sleep. This is, we're getting into the weeds here. But I interviewed this band called Armor for Sleep. And it was me and my best friend. And I can't remember what date I interviewed them at, but the lead singer, Ben, had said that he really loved a certain kind of food from Baltimore, and he hadn't gotten a chance to get it. And so the next day, I was going to that tour anyway. So me and my best friend, he went up and we knocked on the tour bus, and the guys were like, "Oh, you know, who are you, whatever?" And we're like, "Tell Ben it's the Black Girls from Yesterday." And they were like... And you could tell he felt super uncomfortable doing this. No, he will know who we are. Is the descriptor is okay? Please just tell him this specific thing.
We are.
Exactly.
Yeah.
We are black. Yeah. It's okay. Tell him the specific thing. He's going to know exactly what we're talking about if you say this. And so he did, and they did, and then he et cetera, all happened. But I remember distinctly the I feel like the white left his face for a moment. He's like, "Oh no."
He says, "You want me to say the blacks?" No, I don't want to say that. Yeah.
Yes. So that's probably one of my favorite, really, awkward experiences, I guess. It wasn't awkward for me personally, but I feel like it was probably awkward for him. Mm-hmm.
Yes. I love a moment when I made white folks uncomfortable by talking about my race saying black out loud. It was always a
constantly.
Thing. But it's fun for me. I don't know.
Exactly.
Was there a best piece of band merch that you've seen just at any point from maybe Warped Tour, but maybe not?
Yeah. Okay. So there's this band called 4 Year Strong, and they had Letterman jackets.
Oh.
Let me tell you how deeply I wanted this Letterman jacket. I never got this Letterman jacket, and I wanted it so badly.
Yeah.
It was so cool.
A Letterman jacket. I totally get that.
Oh my God.
I would love.
So cool.
Yeah. It's either Tyler, the Creator, or Chance the Rapper that had a Letterman jacket for one of their album releases, and I also deeply wanted it, and you just reminded me of it, so I'm probably going to have to go find that.
Literally, I'm thinking right now, I'm like, I wonder at this point if it's possible for me to get that Letterman jacket. Yeah. Like, now I got money, I can just pay whatever.
You know, right. It's like, I know I'm old now, but I'll do it anyways.
I got money now, it's fine.
Yeah, this is what it's here for. And then final question for you, Christine. How did you feel as a Black kid in these spaces?
Oh, gosh. I mean, I'm incredibly grateful for my best friend. My best friend is a Black girl as well. She's a couple years older than me, and she's my big sister, basically. We always joke, you know, when we became good friends, you know, we would see other little Black girls in the crowd, and we'd, like, go check on them. Like, hey, who are you? You're all right. You good, yeah. You know, because, like, there wasn't a lot of us, you know. And so, I mean, at the time, it was really lonely, let's be honest. Yeah. Like, other than, like, having my best friend, it was really lonely. And if you looked on stage, like, there was no one, right? And, like, that's why there's this band I'm obsessed with now. They are called Meet Me at the Altar. They're
I interviewed them on this podcast. Yeah.
Oh, incredible. Obsessed with them. They toured with All Time Low a couple years back, or last year maybe. And I just remember when I heard that tour announcement, I was like, what I wouldn't have given when I was a kid to see Black girls on stage at a pop punk concert. Yeah. It would have made my entire life.
Edith is who I wanted to be when I was maybe like 12. That is exactly what I wanted to be.
So cool.
Yeah.
So cool.
Very cool.
And so, like, growing up, it was like, oh, that's not a possibility. You know, that's impossible. Mm-hmm. But I mean, I think another thing though is, like, to be completely honest, it made me stand out. Mm-hmm. I was the special one in the crowd. Like, everybody remembered me and my best friend, you know.
Yeah, like, certainly.
So I had a really good time. I wouldn't change anything for the world. But it was definitely isolating. It was definitely lonely. Like, it was the level of just like a whole different rabbit hole of just like the stuff that you saw and heard and went through.
Yes.
Was wild.
Yeah.
Wild. And like, the music industry as a whole has gotten so much better since then. It's not perfect, don't get me wrong. I've worked in the music industry almost 20 years.
Yeah,
not perfect,
yeah.
But it's so much better than what it was back then. And so I'm grateful to see like that change. But it was a wild ride, let's put it that way.
When I was in middle school, I've talked about this probably a number of times on this podcast, but when I was in middle school, that was the dawning of my little emo phase. Mm-hmm. And I remember I went to a predominantly white middle school, of course, and my teacher, a white man, of course, heard me listening to, it might have been Paramore, it might have been My Kim, I don't actually remember. And he was like, you're so whitewashed, like, you're such an Oreo. And I was like, wow, okay. And all the kids
said it
all the time, but my teacher also said it. Another teacher wrote, stay ghetto, in my yearbook. So, and I wasn't, I mean, like, who the fuck, what are you talking about? How are you calling me this person's calling me an Oreo, this person's calling me ghetto. So yeah, like you said, the things that you hear when you are the only or one of few in these predominantly white spaces, especially spaces that you're quote unquote not supposed to be in, like this type of music or the genre, it really is wild.
Oh yeah.
And disgusting.
Yep.
Yeah.
And it's, yes, I'm like I'm still stuck on your teacher. How dare you?
Yeah.
Oh God. See, like, I'm just thinking about all these stuff in hindsight. I'm like, the amount of times I should have been like either between HR or the superintendent. Like, sometimes people just say things. I'm like, actually, now that I'm older, I would be like, absolutely not.
You know,
run me my check.
Right.
Run me my check.
Right.
What?
I'm suing. I'm taking y'all for everything that you're worth. Okay. Loki, I'm like, maybe I'm gonna go back and sue the middle school, because why would you say that to me? And I have written proof of a whole bunch of stuff. So why would you say that to me?
Oh, the audacity. Yes, so I feel you deeply about just not fitting in. And I'd say, like, I found my people really early on. My people weren't in my school off time. They were often everywhere else. But I found my people at concerts. I found my people at shows.
Yeah.
Like, it was amazing. Like, I think about it all the time, and I had such an incredible life.
Aww.
Like, I had such a fun time growing up. But, like, I wouldn't change a single thing. I just wish there was more of people that look like me having a good time too.
Definitely feel that. It does feel like you've had a specifically, like, fun and fulfilling life from a very young age. I'm impressed. Just very impressed. Very impressed. I think that's it for our show today. Christine, please let the folks know where they can find you online.
Yeah. So I am very, very active on LinkedIn. I am not on Instagram. I run a conference called Measure of Music. And I talk a lot of shit on Twitter. That's about it. That's me.
I love that. And for those of you who want to check us out on YouTube, you can go to youtube.com/@blackpeoplelovepairmore. The link will be in the show notes. If you have thoughts you'd like to share with me, you can email me at blackpeoplelovepairmore@gmail.com or at me across all social media platforms at BPLPpod. You can support the show and other wonderful Max Fun shows at maximumfun.org/join. Our editor is Jenriel Legat, and our producer is Palmira Muniz. I'm your host, Sequoia Holmes, and this has been a production of Maximum Fun. So that's it for the episode, and remember to support your favorite artists, hopefully me, today. Become a Maximum Fun member and support Black People Love Paramore.